This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, again, you know that if you want to re-listen to this program, you can do so on my website. There's weekly meditations on my website, and you can contact me through the website or by regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, today is Mother's Day, and we will try to likely honor her by perhaps taking her out for a meal or buying her some flowers or at least giving her a call, doing something nice for our mother. And it would have been appropriate perhaps to have read the miracle of last week today where Peter healed his mother-in-law. And so in this particular case, Peter not only had a wife that he loved, but he had a mother-in-law that he loved, and we don't read about his own mother, but it is nice when we love our wife's mother as well. So as we look at this, we can see that some people fail to realize that when you marry a person, you really marry their family. And if you don't get along with the family, that should be carefully considered before tying the knot. So last time we looked at how the Lord healed many. Healing led to others wanting to be healed, and often the gospel spreads that way. And we've shown that while we may not get healed physically by the gospel, we are made whole. That is, a right relationship with God is established, and he fills that spiritual need in our hearts. And so today we're going to follow that up with the sixth miracle, which has to do with his miraculous catch of fish on the Lake of Galilee. Now remember, the reason we're going through these miracles is to follow up our teaching about the prophecies of the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament. As we look at the miracles, it gives us confidence in the Word of God, and it gives us confidence in the Son of God. And so because we know from Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, this gives us confidence that we do have something solid to believe in. We have the message of God about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at these miracles, they will not only be miracles that actually happen, but they'll be miracles that teach us spiritual truth. And so, as I said last time, we were looking at Peter's mother-in-law being healed, and then we found out that many realized that the Lord was there and they wanted to be healed, and the Lord healed them, and now many want to listen to him. And so we'll see that in Luke chapter 5 that people come together to listen to the Lord. It was more than just wanting to see miracles, they wanted to hear his teaching. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Now, in some of the other Gospels, it says they were mending their nets. So they were taking care of the tools that they used in their earthly occupation, which showed that they were not only industrious, but it showed that they were that they were efficient and careful in the work that they did. They must have been good, in other words, at what they did. And they took care of what they were using to provide a living for themselves. Verse 3 says, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So that's an interesting situation. We know that oftentimes when we are on the water, voices can be heard on the land very easily, depending on the way the wind is blowing. I've been at baptisms where we were at a shallow lake, and the people that were being baptized were out quite a ways from us, but yet I've never found a situation where we couldn't hear the preacher say that the person was being baptized on their confession of faith in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this must have been an appropriate way for the crowd to hear, and it gave the Lord the ability to reach that whole crowd. And after he had spoken to them, And these multitudes, notice they wanted to hear him. That's what gets me today. I'm not sure if we come together really to hear the word of the Lord, or if we come together just to sing, or whether we come together because we just enjoy the company of others in our congregation. We ought to enjoy their company, by the way. Or whether we come together to really hear the word of the Lord. But anyway, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net." So what the Lord was asking Peter to do was contrary to what this industrious, careful fisherman knew really worked. Apparently, they knew that this time of day, letting down their nets into the deep was not likely to get them anything. It wouldn't be a productive time to fish. But it was productive because the Lord told him to do it this way. And often the Lord tells us to do things that are contrary to what we think are right in a natural way. I often quote that verse in Isaiah 55. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. And one of the reasons why it's so hard to get saved is because we have a tendency to think we know how God should save us. And we think that if we do good, or if we go to church, or if we give our tithe, that in fact that should count for something. I've actually had people tell me when I say salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, they'll tell me, "But I was baptized as an infant. That should count for something." But I never found where somebody else could do something that would change an individual person's destiny for eternity. That's an individual matter between God and men. So Peter now does what the Lord asked him to do, and the success was great. So I don't understand fishing. I don't understand why they didn't get anything at night and why they were fishing at night. I don't understand why Simon was so convinced that there would be no fish if they let down their nets into the deep here. But nevertheless, the Lord knew best, didn't he? And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their parties, or to their partners in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, this is interesting because they had success. What the Lord told them to do worked, and their success was so great they about lost their boats. And sometimes it's that way. The Lord gives us almost more than we are able to handle. Perhaps he actually answers prayer according to our desires rather than according to what we really need. In this particular case, their success was so great that they were about to lose their boats, but of course the Lord was there and they didn't. So I have to be careful, and I have to tell you that the Lord will really never give you more success than you can handle if in that success you glorify him. And that's what happened here. If in that success you realize that he's the one who gave you the success, and he's the one that can guide you in the success. And so when I see churches that are growing by leaps and bounds, I know that that's going to create problems for those who are trying to shepherd the flock. There's going to be differences of opinions within the group. There's going to be people come that don't have a clue about what you're trying to do and accomplish, and yet they may be very strong-willed people having a desire to make a mark in that church. And so it will take the Lord. If you have that kind of success, it will take the Lord to guide you and to keep you in that kind of success so that your boats, your fellowships, fellowship is often looked at as people in a boat, and so your fellowships don't sink. And so they had success, and in that success, they found out that they were nothing, at least Peter did, and that Christ was everything. And so when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." This success, this listening to the Lord teach, letting the Lord use his boat, and then finding success where they had only found failure, made Peter realize that he was in the presence of holiness. He was in the presence of the very Son of God. And while he apparently had known that in his head, I think now he knew it in his heart. And he says, "Depart from me, from a sinful man, O Lord." And whenever we understand our sin, it tends to separate us from God. Sin separates, but God can forgive that sin and unite us to him through the forgiveness of sins that comes because he paid the price of our redemption at the cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But where we accept what Christ has done, we know that we don't have to depart. Then the Lord says that we have fellowship with him, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we confess our sins as Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we confess our sins as the unsaved, we can hear the Lord say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so while Peter realized that his sin caused separation, the Lord put that separation between him and Peter away. And we know that ultimately, Peter became one of the leaders amongst those who followed the Lord. And so he says, "Depart from me, from a sinful man, O Lord." I've talked to many people who are serving the Lord who have never come to this point where they realize that they are just sinful people that the Lord wants to save and use. So it says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" So he's teaching them that if you do what I ask you to do, you won't just be catching fish. Now I'm going to use those same principles to help you catch men. That is, so that you can see people reached and saved with the gospel. And so we know that sometimes we fish with a net and sometimes we fish with a hook, line, and sinker. But those of us who are trying to see people saved, we are fishermen. So it says, "When they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now, this is a tough one because they turned their back on their secular occupation and followed one who didn't even have a place to lay his head. He said, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And they followed him. And that in following him, they became the foundation of the New Testament Christian church. And so there were lessons to be learned, but have any of us ever really realized that we're just sinful men who need to be saved so we don't have to be separated from God? And then have we, after we're saved, like Peter's mother, she served, or his mother-in-law, she served, and have we realized that the Lord wants us to serve, but to do that, we may have to forsake all. We should forsake all and follow him. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.